You get these distant academics that claim that IQ is going down, we're becoming less intelligent, and that civilizations are going to collapse and something has to be done about it. But that is just typical racist nonsense. Because I've been reading this brilliant book again, and this brilliant book is quite clear that there's something called the Flynn Effect. And what the Flynn Effect is a system whereby we've been getting more intelligent by about 3 IQ points per decade since the 1930s. We're much, much more intelligent than we used to be. And why are we much more intelligent? We're much more intelligent because we have greater equality, we have greater education, we have greater money being put into things like education and everybody having an equal chance. And this means that everyone's latent genius, everyone's latent brilliance can be brought out so that as we get more and more intelligent, we can build a better and better civilization in which we're all equal and we all have a very high standard of living, and ultimately we'll be able to make our way to other planets and colonize the universe because we're getting more and more intelligent as we're getting more and more equal. And that's what this book is basically saying. And so these people that say that all civilizations are going to come, what they don't understand is there's something called the Flynn Effect, and that actually proves we're becoming more intelligent. And as long as we can harness everyone's innate genius and everyone's innate brilliant contribution that they can make to society, we're going to have a future in which, I mean, the world is our oyster, in which we can really do anything we want to do. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the Flynn Effect. This is something that I've talked about quite a while ago, quite a few years ago now on this channel, but for some reason it still comes up. You still get people who believe that there is something called the Flynn Effect, and the Flynn Effect means that we are becoming more intelligent. It is the most pernicious falsehood that I have come across in intelligence research, and so I would like to use this video as an opportunity to put it to bed, to put it to rest. We are not becoming more intelligent, we are becoming less intelligent. Now, first of all, what is this thing called the Flynn Effect? Well, the Flynn Effect is the observation that between about the 1930s and up until, well, in some countries it's still happening, but in Western countries, by the way, up until the late 1990s, IQ scores increased. IQ scores were going up, and they were going up by about 3 points per decade. So the way that a person that doesn't understand how these things work would interpret this would be to say that we were becoming more intelligent by 3 IQ points per decade. Now, of course, if that was the case, then we would be complete geniuses compared to our ancestors. We would, if 3 IQ points per decade would be one standard deviation before long. I mean, we're talking about a huge increase in how intelligent we are if that is what is going on. But anyway, that is the Flynn Effect. Now, in reality, it's something quite different is going on. Yes, IQ scores were going up, but that doesn't mean that intelligence was going up. And to understand why that is the case, we have to understand the difference between intelligence and IQ tests. So, intelligence can be understood as a little bit like a pyramid. At the bottom of the pyramid, you have these various abilities, we call them specialised abilities, that are weakly associated with how clever you are. So these are things like the ability to tie your shoelaces, or the ability to drive a car, or how socially skilled you are. That correlates with IQ scores at about 0.3. Or the ability to spot patterns, so the ability to think about the world in an analytic way. These things weakly correlate with intelligence, defined as the ability to solve cognitive problems. Above these in the pyramid, you have the 3 main kinds of intelligence that we understand are measured by IQ tests. These are verbal intelligence, spatial intelligence, and linguistic intelligence. These are themselves all intercorrelated. So in general, people that are good at verbal intelligence are good at mathematical intelligence and spatial intelligence. Although there is differences. You get some people that are more mathematically intelligent, some people that are more linguistically intelligent. These themselves, because they intercorrelate, can be said to be underpinned by a general factor of intelligence. And this is called G. G, general factor of intelligence. Now, the heritability of G, based on twin studies, the heritability of how well you do in IQ tests is very high. It's about 0.8. So that means that it is very, very significantly genetic. The IQ test measures your intelligence, but it is not a perfect measure of intelligence. It's not a perfect measure of how intelligent you are. It's not a perfect instrument for measuring intelligence. And we know this because the essence of intelligence is G, and some IQ tests are more or less G-loaded than others. They're more or less good at tapping into G and at measuring G. There are problems with IQ tests. First of all, they are culturally biased. So they're written in language, and if you're from a poor background and you're less exposed to lots of words, you will do less well in them. That doesn't mean that you're not as intelligent. It might just be it's just because you haven't been exposed to these words. That's one problem with IQ tests as a measure of intelligence. Another problem with IQ tests is that not only do they test your general intelligence, they test your ability to think in an analytic way. And so that is, as we've already discussed, weakly associated with intelligence. But if you're very, very, very good at thinking in this analytic way, which involves looking for shapes and looking for patterns and things like that, then you can actually do very well in an IQ test, despite your intelligence, your actual general intelligence, not being that good. So it's perfectly possible for a person who is less intelligent than somebody else, has lower general intelligence, to do better on an IQ test than somebody else who has higher general intelligence, because they are very good at that narrow intelligence ability, which mimics intelligence, of thinking in a highly analytic way and being very, 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 very good at spotting patterns and spotting relationships and things like that. But that is not necessarily the same thing as intelligence, not least because partly as well, intelligence involves being able to solve problems not just that are highly cognitively demanding, but being able to solve them quickly as well. You have to be able to solve them quickly. You've got to be quick. A part of intelligence is a high-functioning nervous system. So you've got this problem whereby the IQ test is not a perfect measurer of general intelligence. Now, this becomes a particular problem when we start to compare IQ tests across time, because the nature of the environment varies across time. Firstly, across time, people are going to become, between 1930s and now, people are going to become more used to taking IQ tests because they're more common. And so more used to thinking in the kind of way that helps you to do well in IQ tests. That doesn't mean they have become more intelligent. They've simply become better at IQ tests. The second problem is that across time, people are becoming more educated. And if they're becoming more educated, and they have more words thrown at them, and they're reading more and whatever, then they have more thinking tools with which to solve problems. So they will become better at analytic thinking. This doesn't mean that they're getting more intelligent necessarily, of course. It just means that the nature of the society is changing and we're becoming better at analytic thinking. A third related problem is what Jim Flynn, the person that's come up with the Flynn effect, he's an American political scientist and then psychologist who's living in New Zealand, calls scientific spectacles. As society develops since the Industrial Revolution, people become more educated, people become more exposed to science, they become used to thinking in a more scientific way. They see the world through scientific spectacles, and so they think in a more analytic way. And so therefore, again, they become better at IQ tests. This doesn't necessarily mean they're becoming more intelligent. It just means they're becoming better at the way of thinking which helps you with IQ tests. Now, what can happen because of the nature of the IQ test and what Flynn admits has happened is that at the base of the pyramid, that narrow intelligence ability, analytic thinking, which weakly correlates with general intelligence, has, due to the nature of the society becoming so much more scientific, been pushed to its phenotypic maximum across time, been pushed to the maximum level. Remember, everything is partly to do with genes and partly to do with environmental issues. Intelligence is about 0.2 to do with environmental factors. What are those factors? They are particularly things like living in an academically stimulating environment. If you are with people who are highly intelligent, it will push your intelligence to it, who make you think in an intelligent way, it will push your intelligence to its phenotypic maximum. So what's been happening is that this skill, analytic thinking, has been pushed to its phenotypic maximum across time. And this means that the how well we do at this intelligence ability, which is picked up on by the IQ test, has gone up so substantially and so fast that it has overwhelmed whatever else has been happening to humans in terms of their mathematical ability, in terms of their spatial ability, and in terms of their linguistic ability, and has come across as an overall IQ rise. And that is perfectly possible if the instrument is an imperfect measurer of general intelligence. And that is what has happened. A comparison would be something like, if we understand the nature of height, there are two dimensions to height. There is the length of the legs, this is highly environmentally influenced, and there is the length of the body, this is highly genetically influenced. It would be perfectly possible for us to be getting shorter at the genetic level, for our trunks to be getting shorter, for to be selecting for shortness, but for us to be coming across as taller because our legs were getting longer due to the environment pushing us to our maximum possible phenotypic height due to health levels. Now, that would be what's called the co-occurrence model. And my colleague, Michael Woodley of Manee, has called this, with regard to intelligence, the co-occurrence model. And he argues that what's happening is that we, at the genetic level, and indeed in terms of other measure, in terms of intelligence more generally, IQ, are becoming less intelligent. We are becoming less intelligent across time. And we have been becoming less intelligent since about 1900. But, or even earlier than that, since about 1800, but we are becoming, our IQ scores have been going up as this is happening, so co-occurrence, because we have been pushed to our phenotypic maximum on this intelligence ability, which is weakly associated with intelligence, but which permits you to do very well on IQ tests because it mimics intelligence, because it allows you to think in this highly analytic way. And this has been pushed to its phenotypic maximum, and because of this, we come across as having a higher IQ every generation, because we get pushed increasingly to this maximum every generation, even though if that were taken away, in reality, we're becoming less intelligent. So this is the imperfect nature of the IQ. And this is why IQ tests will be very good at measuring intelligence within a cohort that are born at the same time, that are experiencing the same world, that are experiencing a world with the same level of cognitive stimulation and the same level of induced scientific thinking. But they are not good at measuring things across time, where people are experiencing these scientific spectacles to a greater or lesser extent. So the Flynn effect is an illusion. It is an illusion. We are not becoming more intelligent. The IQ has been going up, but it's been going up driven by a very narrow subsection of the IQ test, which mimics intelligence, which is analytic thinking. And that's been going up to such an extent, that element of the IQ test has been going up to such an extent, it overwhelms whatever's happening on everything else, which is more strongly related to intelligence, and comes across as an IQ rise across time. But that does not mean we're becoming more intelligent, because on all of the other measures, and indeed on measures that are more closely, that are better measures of intelligence, we are, such as general intelligence, we are going down. So, the Flynn effect is an illusion. Now, let's look at what's actually been happening while the IQ scores have been going up by 3 points per decade, which, by the way, they stopped doing in the mid-90s, but we'll look at that later. The first thing that's been happening is that reaction times have been decreasing. We have measures of reaction times are a robust correlate of intelligence. Reaction times are the ability to, if you have a bank of lights in front of you, and when a light comes on, you press a button, that's measuring your simple reaction time. If you have to press one of two buttons, that's measuring your choice reaction time. The correlation between reaction times and general and intelligence is about 0.3. So they are a good measure, and they are invariant across time, and we have them since the 1880s, and we know that reaction times have been getting longer, which is consistent with us becoming less intelligent, because reaction times are a robust correlate of intelligence, implying that a big part of intelligence is basically a high-functioning nervous system. They've been getting longer, consistent with, between 1880 and the year 2000, us having lost about 15 points, IQ points. Now, that is is the difference between a school science teacher and a professor of science at a university, or the difference between a policeman and a school science teacher. So that is a significant difference. We have become less intelligent by 15 points, according to reaction times. Then we have colour discrimination. Colour discrimination is a correlate of IQ. Why? Because you're better able to solve problems the more subtly you can understand the information with which you are presented. The more subtly you can understand it, the more you can break it up into subtler chunks, the more you can work out what's going on, the more you can make associations between different things, and the better you can solve the problem. I mean, think, for example, if you were trying to design a waterproof roof and you could better distinguish between this material and this material as separate, then you'd be better able to come up with a roof that was completely waterproof. So colour discrimination is a correlate of IQ. Colour discrimination has been getting worse across the 20th century, consistent with an IQ decline of 3.15 points per decade. Then you have the use of high difficulty words. Words are not just ways of thinking. Words are thinking tools. The higher, the more complex the words are you can use, the more complexity you can use to express yourself, and therefore the more intelligent you are. Now, these have been traced across time, the use of high difficulty words in texts between the sort of 1500s to now. And what we found is that, our vocabulary level, or the extent to which we use high difficulty words, reached a peak in about the mid-1800s, something like that, and now it has declined, and we are back in terms of high difficulty words to where we were in about 1700. So this is significantly before the Industrial Revolution, which is when things, of course, changed, when everything changed and life became so much easier, meaning that Darwinian selection pressure for intelligence would have been weakened. So we're going down in terms of high difficulty word use. Another one is backward digit span. Backward digit span is counting backwards, the ability to count backwards, to learn a string of numbers off by heart and then say them backwards. This is a marker of intelligence. We have been getting worse at this across time. Another one is simply creativity. So creativity is weakly correlated with intelligence. There are creativity tests that are administered to children. Children have been found to be becoming less creative across time. Another one, a very important one, is levels of per capita genius. So obviously, your intelligence is you have the intelligence of the population, and the outliers, those that are very, very, very high IQ, those are the geniuses that come up with major innovations that move society on and whatever. So there is general agreement on what constitutes a major scientific innovation that moves society forward and is really, really important. This has been traced across time. Since about the 1100s to now. And what's been found is that from the 1100s onwards, per capita genius starts to increase and increase and increase, which is consistent with us selecting very strongly for intelligence. And it's been shown, by the way, that we were selecting for intelligence under pre-modern conditions. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Intelligence is robustly correlates with how much money you have. And studies have found that the richer 50% of pre-modern populations had about double the surviving fertility than the poorer 50% of pre-modern populations. Why? Well, because they were richer, so they were more intelligent, but also because they were richer, they were able to provide better environments for their children, so their children were more likely to survive, and so they had a greater fertility, and so therefore we were becoming richer every generation. So every generation, those at the bottom of society would die out, and the people would move downwards in a society of social descent to fill those places, and so every generation, those at the top were becoming cleverer and cleverer and cleverer. What you would therefore predict would be that you would get more and more per capita genius, more major innovations per million of population. And this is precisely what you get. This reaches a peak in around 1870 of something like 16 major innovations per million of population. And now it has gone down to 4. So it is 1/3 of peak. And that is the same level of major innovation, by the way, that we had in 1600 when Elizabeth I was on the throne. 1/3 of peak. So on that measure, we're becoming less intelligent as well. And the smoking gun, really, as to what's going on, is that, as we have discussed, the heritability of intelligence is very high. It's about 0.8, so it's very, very strongly to do with genetics. And there are certain alleles, certain forms of a gene, that have been found to basically be associated with it being extremely highly educated, i.e. with being extremely intelligent. And what's been found is that the the percentage of the population that carries those alleles that are associated with very high intelligence has gone down over the last three generations. This was in a study from Iceland. So this demonstrates that at the genetic level, we are becoming less intelligent. And so what's happening, and finally, the IQ tests themselves. Since the 1990s, the mid-1990s, we have had what's called a negative Flynn effect. So the Flynn effect is this 3 points or 2.5 points rise in IQ per decade. We now have a 1.5 point decline in IQ points per decade that's been going on in Western countries since about the mid-1990s. And what that would be consistent with would be that we push our ability to this analytic thinking, intelligence ability is pushed to its phenotypic maximum. And once that happens, then you would expect IQs to plateau, which is what occurs, and then you would expect them to start to go down as the underlying decline in IQ, as the actual decline in IQ on all other measures of the IQ test, apart from this one, has been cloaked by the Flynn effect, has been cloaked by us doing better and better and better in this analytic ability, in these scientific spectacles, which has been pushed to its phenotypic maximum. Once this is pushed to its phenotypic maximum, that ability to cloak the underlying decline in IQ, the underlying decline in intelligence will stop and it will poke through even on the IQ tests. And that's what you see from the mid-90s onwards. And therefore, since then, IQs have gone down. And I've done a meta-analysis of this, and this has been noted in numerous countries. It's gone down, And interestingly, there are some studies that have indicated that this has gone down on, as you would predict if we were going, if we were becoming less intelligent for genetic reasons, gone down on G, gone down on the most G-loaded, the most genetic, because there's parts of the intelligence battery, the IQ battery, which are highly influenced by environment, such as this analytic thinking, and there's parts that are highly influenced by genetics. And it, you would expect, if it, this was happening for genetic reasons, you would expect it would be those, the genetic parts of intelligence, that would be going down. And that's what you find. It's on the genetic components of intelligence that we are, that the IQ is going down. That's what's driving the decline, according to research from France, according to research from Holland and various other places. That's what's driving the decline. So we're becoming less intelligent for genetic reasons. It's being covered up by an environment which is pushing a subset of IQ to its phenotypic maximum for environmental reasons. That reaches its phenotypic maximum, the environmental ability to cause it, and then the underlying decline pokes through on the IQ test, and that's at the genetic level. There are some studies, there was a study by Flynn effect and its reversal are both environmentally caused by Bratzberg and Roberg, which argued that both the Flynn effect and the negative Flynn effect were due to environmental factors. And they used Norwegian conscript data to demonstrate this, noticing that it had happened between siblings. But the problem with that is that more intelligent people don't have siblings. So they were only using people where, that have brothers, for example, that go in the, both go in the Norwegian army across time. But more intelligent people don't have brothers. So that's a fundamental, because there's a negative association between intelligence and how many children you have. And so that's a fundamental problem with the test. And it also controlled for all kinds of other variables as well. So I think that's a big problem. But of course, it's also possible that the negative Flynn effect could be as well, could start off being on genetics and could then become on environment, because as we become, as we reach our phenotypic maximum ability to, with regard to these scientific spectacles, then the underlying G will poke through, and then G decline will poke through. We will become less intelligent at the genetic level, and this will cause us to be less able to push ourselves to our maximum scientific spectacles level, as it were, and therefore we will see a Flynn effect in reverse, where we'll be less able to push ourselves to our scientific maximum because we've reached the peak, the genetic peak of the ability to do so, and therefore we would expect it actually to be on environment. So that's actually quite possible. But anyway, the point is that the Flynn effect is an illusion, and we are becoming less intelligent on all of these different measures, and even on measures which are very weak correlates of intelligence. So one of them is left-handedness. Left-handedness is very weakly associated with intelligence. Very weak negative association. If you're left-handed, you have slightly lower IQ. This is because we are meant to be right-handed, and so if you're left-handed, then there's higher mutational load on average in the brain, and if there's higher mutational load on average in the brain will work less well, and therefore you'll be less intelligent. We're becoming more left-handed across time. Another association is between intelligence and height. Women tend to sexually select for intelligence. They also sexually select for height. Therefore, the two are phenotypically, phenotypically related, with the people who are intelligent tending to be slightly taller. There's some evidence from some countries that we're becoming shorter, or at least, at the very least, that our height has plateaued and we're no longer becoming taller, which would be consistent with this process occurring. Another thing is simply how good looking we are. It's been found that facial symmetry, how symmetrical your face is a marker of how good of your genetic quality. Because if you can produce a symmetrical phenotype in the face of disease, then you have a good immune system and you can fight off the disease. You have a low mutational load. If you have a low mutational load, you're also going to have an optimally functioning brain and therefore high intelligence. And so consequently, there is a relationship, weak relationship between how symmetrical your face is and how intelligent you are, and our faces are becoming less symmetrical across time, becoming uglier across time since the 19th century. So this is again consistent with intelligence at the genetic level going down since the 19th century. So all this evidence indicates that the Flynn effect is an illusion. It does not mean we're becoming more intelligent. We are in fact now becoming less intelligent. We have been since probably about 1900. There is now a negative association of 0.1 or 0.2 among women between how intelligent you are and how many children you have, with most intelligent women having no children at all. And this has been going on since at least 1900, and therefore we're becoming less intelligent, and that's what we're seeing. The Flynn effect is an illusion, which means that this is not illustrated on the IQ tests until the late 90s. But then we've reached the phenotypic maximum for what the Flynn effect is measuring, and then it starts to occur. Why is it occurring? Well, the first reason seems to be the main reason, because it happens at the fall of Rome and the fall of Greece and even the fall of Baghdad, is that we have a sort of instinct to have children, and intelligence involves the ability to sort of overcome instinct. You don't respond to things instinctively, you respond to things rationally and logically. If you reach a certain level of comfort, then this instinct for religion, this because we know that when we're under high levels of stress and mortality salience, we become more religious. This instinct for religion, and religion tends to take adaptive ideas and make them into the will of God, and one thing that's adaptive is having children. Once you reach a certain level of comfort, these instincts don't hit in. You no longer have strongly these instincts to have children or whatever. And the more intelligent you are, the more quickly you will drop these instincts to have children. And also, on average, the higher will be your standard of living, and the lower will be your mortality salience. And so, the less you will be influenced by instincts, and the less religious you will be. And if you're not religious, because of the way that we humans are self-conscious and can think about life, if you're not religious and you no longer believe that life has eternal significance and that there's something greater than you and there's something beyond you and there's some eternity which you're part of, and you must keep the humanity going because that's the will of God, then what's the point of having children? They're expensive and they take up time. And so, therefore, once you reach that level of development and that level of luxury where you're no longer religious and you no longer believe life has any point or meaning, well, then people will tell, well, what's the point of having children? What's the point? We're all going to die. And so you don't have children. And so, therefore, there becomes, and this is more likely to occur among more intelligent people, as I said. And so, therefore, because religiousness is negatively associated with intelligence, and therefore you expect intelligence to start to go down because it will be the more intelligent that will be more likely to think like this and thus not have children. That's the first reason. The second reason is that they will be more able to stop themselves from having children. So one of the correlates of intelligence is impulse control. And so if everybody doesn't want to have children, then those that are more intelligent will have higher impulse control. They will think about the future more. They will be more able to stop themselves from accidentally getting pregnant or accidentally getting someone else pregnant. And they'll be more able to stop themselves having children, even in the absence of contraception. The third reason is contraception. Once reliable contraception is developed, it will be used more efficiently by more intelligent people. If you use the pill, do you take it properly every day at the same time, or do you knock it back with a glass of wine when you remember? And so intelligent people will more efficiently use contraception. They'll be less likely to simply impulsively have sex without using contraception, thinking of the future, and therefore intelligence will start to go down, and large families will start to be associated with people who have low IQ. The next reason is feminism.
So as a rule, once you have feminism, then it's going to be the more intelligent girls that are going to get educated and going to get jobs. The less intelligent girls are going to get pregnant at 16 and have loads of kids by unsuitable men. And she's going to be a grandmother by the time she's 40, when the more intelligent woman who's dedicated all of her 20s and even the first half of her 30s to her career is thinking about having one or two children. And in general, such women don't have no children at all. And so therefore, the correlation between intelligence and how many kids you have is actually stronger. It's a 0.1 among men. -0.2 among women because of the influence of feminism. The next is immigration. Immigration tends into Western countries, tends to be from countries that have low average IQs, and so this will be a small impactor as well. And what all of these factors would predict is that intelligence will start to go down. It's been calculated, is going down, IQs are going down by about 1.5 points per decade, and it's been calculated based on current trends that by the end of the century, in Britain, IQ will be 85. And interestingly, if you look at it in terms of per capita innovations, if we set now as 100, then in terms of per capita innovations, we had an IQ of 85 in the medieval period, i.e. when civilization collapsed. And based on current trends, by the end of the century, or civilization had previously collapsed, we were moving back upwards. But on current trends, we will have the same number of per capita innovations by the end of this century, major innovations, as we had in 1100. So we'll have about the same IQ as we had in 1100 by the end of the century. And what that will mean, of course, is that eventually we will start to go backwards. We will be unable to do things we used to be able to do. I think society will become more chaotic, more minor mistakes will be made all the time. We'll be unable to trust things that we used to be able to do. I think this process is already occurring with Concorde and not being able to get back to the moon and whatever. But what I wanted to do in this video was look very clearly at the Flynn effect. The Flynn effect is an illusion. We are not becoming more intelligent, we are becoming less intelligent. If you want to read more about this, you can read about it in my book, At Our Wit's End, Why We're Becoming Less Intelligent and What It Means for the Future. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then please, please, please subscribe. It really helps if you subscribe. If you would like to help the channel, you can do so in the ways seen below, the various means in which you can support the channel. Particularly, you can send an offline super chat through Entropy. I'm on live here once a week, twice a week, on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, so please tune in for that. I will see you soon, and goodbye!